So as everybody knows, there are two kinds of people. People who lose their keys and people who don't lose their keys. And I am on that spectrum closer to the one who loses the keys, especially when I put them somewhere unusual and I say to myself, I'm not going to forget this. I'm going to remember that I put them in the freezer. And then you go on the search. And one of the things about the search is that you often find other things along the way. You don't find your keys, but you realize that you left that pen in the freezer last week. And I remember the comedian David Brenner saying that people always say to him, you know, it was in the last place I looked. He said, but who keeps looking after you found it? And it is like the old Yiddish joke about the guy who's searching for his keys by the streetlight. And the policeman said, what are you looking for? You can't shush her, she's on her way out. Believe me, shushing from the front row to a child who's crying in the back is of limited effectiveness. This is some things you learn as a rabbi over the years. The guy who's searching for his keys by a street lamp, and the policeman says, what are you looking for? He says, my keys. He goes, did you drop them here? He says, no, but it's light here. In fact, in the Talmud, it says that if someone tells you that they searched in the Torah and did not find, don't believe them. And a later commentator says, what does that mean? You don't always find. And their answer is that in the searching, you found something, even if you didn't find what you were looking for. So I went searching this week because a comment by a medieval commentator, Rabbi Bechor Shor, made me wonder about something that I had never wondered about before. It says very clearly that the Asaf Suf, the group, the not so admirable people in Israel, wanted meat. If only we had meat to eat, they said. And he says, I don't understand this. Because if I turn back to chapter 12, this is what it says about the Israelites. They journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot. A mixed multitude, that same Asaf Suf, went up with them, and very much livestock, flocks and herds. They had burgers. Seriously, they had cows, they had sheep in the desert. So how could they say they don't have meat? He says, of course they had meat. And a later commentator, the Ramban, says, not only that, but look at chapter 16, verse 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Speak to them and say, by evening, you'll have meat. That was two books ago, back in Exodus. And now in Numbers, they're saying, oh, if only we had meat. That was the first thing that perplexed me. How could they complain about meat if they had it? The second was that it says at the beginning of this chapter, they were kemit onanim, like people who complained. And I didn't understand what that meant, like people who complained. In my experience, and maybe I shouldn't say this as a rabbi, people who are like people who complain are complainers. That's what it means. If you do an imitation of a complaint, you're complaining. Even if you're complaining about the fact that the other person complained. So I didn't understand what it meant that they were like complainers. But what often happens is, if you compound the mysteries, you solve the problem. And there is another curious phrase in the Torah. In this very, not only chapter, but this paragraph, that if you unravel it and you follow the interpretation of our sages, you understand what's going on with the meat, and also in the bargain, you get a crucial life lesson. Because this is what it says. Hit avu ta'ava, which literally means They craved a craving. Now, since craved a craving doesn't make any sense, the way it's translated in our Chumash, for example, is they felt a gluttonous craving. In other words, a really severe craving. But that's not what the Hebrew said. The Hebrew says they craved a craving. So along come several commentators and say, here was the problem with the Israelites in the desert. They were so well taken care of. They so didn't need anything that they missed wanting things. That we think if you satisfy all the needs of human beings, they'll be satisfied. But you know what they do? They just cast around for something they don't have because they want to want, even if they have everything they need. That's just part of our nature. And they couldn't figure out what they should complain about. Because the truth is, they had nothing to complain about. They had the manna from heaven. They had God's protection. They'd been delivered from slavery. He was bringing them to the promised land. But they wanted to complain. But since they couldn't make a real complaint, they were kemit onanim. They were like complainers. That is, they weren't really complaining about meat. They were complaining because they felt a need to be dissatisfied. When I put this all together, I realized how often it was true in my life and the life of almost everyone I know. So 2 weeks ago, I had someone come to my office who was quite wealthy and had lost a bit of money and was very upset about it. So I said, will it change the home you live in? No. The vacations you go on? No. The meals you eat? No. What you give your children? Not really. I said, so what you're complaining about is a number in your head that is purely psychological, that has nothing to do with the way you live your life. Had I had the language, I would have said to him, you're kemit onanim. You're like a complainer, but you really aren't a complainer. Because even though something happened to you, it has no consequence in your life, so all you have to do is banish that thought from your head, you'll be fine. And what the Torah is teaching us is how often we complain about conditions in the world because of conditions in our souls. That's why they were complaining. They were complaining not because the world was bad, but because there was something not right inside of them. And if you think about the things you complain about, if you ask yourself, is it because there's something fundamental wrong with the world, or it's just because I have this need to see the lack, to see the problem? As I've told you many times about that wonderful exercise that various teachers do where they go up to a blank wall, a white wall, and they'll put a little black dot in the center. And they'll say, what do you see? And everyone always says, we see a black dot. But of course you don't. What you see is a large white wall with a tiny black dot. But how often have you asked somebody, how was your day? It was terrible. Why? I almost got in an accident. So you woke up, you're healthy, you ate three meals, you spent time with friends, you didn't even really have an accident, and that makes your day miserable. It is the black dot syndrome. So here you have it. Here were the Israelites who had nothing to complain about, and yet they had a complaint. I know that in our lives, there are sometimes genuine tragedies and deep sadnesses, and nobody wants to minimize those. But a lot of what we complain about is kemit onanim. Really. So traffic was bad. So you had a hard time finding a parking space. So the suit doesn't quite fit right. So the kid is crying. It's really kamit onanim. So the next time you find yourself expressing to someone else how lousy something is, think about what you're really saying is, I need meat. Because even as a vegetarian, I'll tell you, it's all around you. As are blessings. As is goodness. So replace your complaint with gratitude. You will be happier. And I dare say, you'll find what you're searching for. Shabbat Shalom.